and welcome to Total Nerd List, the podcast where we make lists and be nerds. I'm Shane.
I'm Tom.
And I'm Reggie.
And this week we are talking about the X-Men.
Wasn't that theme, was it the Power Rangers theme that was written for X-Men, or was it X-Men written by the Power Rangers theme guy?
I'm pretty sure, somebody Google it and correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure that the X-Men theme or the Power Ranger theme was written for the X-Men.
Yes. I think that sounds correct too. I will side with you on that.
Both of them are 90s guitar. That sounds amazing.
I'm not going to say that Whitney Houston ripped it off either, but you should listen to I'm Your Baby Tonight by Whitney Houston and tell me you don't hear the X-Men theme in it.
Ooh, there's your homework, everyone.
Homework. Go listen.
So, sorry, Shane, did you have something?
No. I mean, I was going to say, I think we can all agree that the animated series is probably the best series, the 1992 version. Yes.
Is there any other?
I like there that have been one. A few.
No, I'm just kidding. I also will say I thoroughly enjoyed, was it X-Men Generations when they were in high school?
Evolution, which I agree. I really enjoyed that one,
yes,
too.
Yes, that was my question. I was going to ask what X-Men is to y'all, whether it's the current movies, later movies. I really, when I think of X-Men, I think of the original animated series, then the like early 2000s movies, and then Evolutions, because that was when I was big into WB Kids.
WB. what's your list, Shane? Like what's your X-Men when you think of them?
Definitely the 1992 animated series. I do also really enjoy Evolution, and I feel that Evolution was cut short, because if anyone's seen that series in its entirety, in the last episode, all those flash forwards were storylines that were to come, and then unfortunately they were canceled. So I would have loved to seen their take on the Phoenix Saga, and it is unfortunate that we didn't get to, because they had a lot more developed characters involved as opposed to like the core few that we had in the 92 version. But definitely 92 is where it's at for me. I'll stand it for life.
Same. That when I think X-Men, I think Jubilee in that yellow trench coat.
Mm-hmm.
That's what pops into my mind. And then the four-way love triangle between Rogue, Gambit, Wolverine, and Jean. Like, and I guess Cyclops was somewhere in there too.
Didn't Rogue call everyone honey?
Sugar.
Sugar, I remember.
Because she's Louisianan. That was a terrible Louisiana. Please do not come for me.
So I will admit my X-Men love is very surface level. So I'm definitely going to have to rely on y'all for some of the deeper stuff. We're like Gambit and Rogue from the same areas, since they were both kind of Louisiana.
I mean, they're both, I think, from Louisiana, but I don't remember kind of like specifics of like how they knew each other before going to the X-Men.
They were never like, hey, remember that crawfish restaurant we liked a lot?
No.
Rogue, well, I don't want to get into like the history of it, but I know that like Rogue starts out as a villain in the comics.
Mm-hmm.
And then comes to the good side. I'm not sure how Gambit got his start. I know he was like a pickpocket and a street, I don't want to say urchin, but you know, a street performer, if you will, and you know, stuff like that. So I don't know if there was ever any overlapping, but the likelihood seems high, but I don't know.
Gambit was that guy playing three card Monty, and if he chose the wrong card, you cut on fire.
Yes, so clearly we have a lot to talk about. Before we dive into the X-Men, what did you guys do this week in Nerd?
I'll go. So I've been on a big movie kick lately. Like I've told y'all before, I started replaying Red Dead Redemption. That game's kind of slow, and y'all haven't played it, so I don't want to get too into it. But the reason why I'm actually replaying Red Dead Redemption is my brother loves all of the mundane stuff in Breath of the Wild.
Uh-huh.
The hunting and the crafting. So I bought like a mini projector before everything went to heck last year because I was going to use it for like little coaching like presentations. So I think when I get time and like the internet capability, we're going to project Red Dead Redemption on the side of one of our sheds outside and go big game hunting. Cause he likes the hunting and that, and that's like one of my favorite parts of Red Dead Redemption is hunting. But other than that, we watched Annabelle Creation.
Yeah.
Have either of y'all seen that?
Yes. Not Creation.
It was good. I don't really like the Annabelle movies very much because just looking at that doll, I'm like, who? I know like the 20s were weird, but like who would have that in their house? And the original Annabelle was a Raggedy Ann anyway. And they had like a nice little nod to that in the in Annabelle Creation. And I will say one thing about the Conjuring movie verse is they do really well at like connecting the movies. Mm-hmm. Like I said, the other week I saw The Nun, and that was, it was really neat. The little Easter eggs in there. And then the little Easter eggs that brought it back around to the regular Annabelle. Any thoughts, Reggie?
I loved it. Cause it was like, a mashup movie. You know what I mean? There were so many characters that showed mm-hmm. up. I liked it. I also really liked the blonde girl that was in it. That was the babysitter, not the friend, but the babysitter. Wait, am I thinking of the right one?
This one was the one where it was like the nun with the orphanage and they moved into the like Annabelle's house, basically.
No, I'm thinking of the one where it's like the, what are the two psychics' names?
Ed and Lorraine.
Yeah, it's at their house and their little girl is locked in the house with Annabelle.
I heard about that.
That's
one.
That's the first Conjuring one movie, I think.
It was an Annabelle.
I think it's an Annabelle one. There is a Conjuring where they are in the house together. Like
with and Annabelle gets out.
Yeah, the little girl's babysitter's friend shows up and opens the door where Annabelle is, and then all hell breaks loose.
But yeah, Annabelle was great. And then the other thing that I got really into this past weekend was Evil Dead.
Mm-hmm.
Ashley J. Williams, the main character from Evil Dead, is a playable character on Dead by Daylight, and I bought him, and I've always seen like spoofs of Ash. I've never actually seen Evil Dead before this week. I've seen like what was the guy from Grim Adventures of Billy and Mandy that had the chainsaw hand that was like a crossbow at the same time? It was like Hoss Delgado.
There you go.
Yeah. So I'd seen all of the parodies, and I remember one of my brother's friends growing up had an Evil Dead shirt with from Army of Darkness on it. So I'd always wanted to see those movies. So I've watched a couple episodes of Ash versus the Evil Dead. Have y'all seen that at all?
Yeah, we watched the whole first season, but then we did away with Stars and then never picked it back up once we got it back again.
I like that. I think I'm like three episodes in, and then I watched Evil Dead 1 and then Evil Dead 2. Still need to watch Army of Darkness. And I have to say I'm a little confused about the continuity.
Mm-hmm.
I looked it up because basically Evil Dead 2 is almost a remake. Except a little more absurd. And I looked up, and apparently, as far as continuity goes, there's like a lot of rights involved, which is terrible for art. The fact that we have to worry about rights and, Evil Dead 2, Bruce Campbell, the guy who plays Ash, called it a requel.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
it's like a remake and a sequel at the same time. And then if you watch Ash versus the Evil Dead, they mention both movies. Like they're both part of the continuity, if that makes sense. And then
it's very convoluted.
And then if you watch, I got some spoilers, but apparently the way Evil Dead leads into Army of Darkness is different from Army of Darkness in the actual movie. So, I mean, I'm just rolling with it. I love
You watched the remake?
That's next on my list after Army of Darkness. I'm just going to say anything with like a chainsaw hand is pretty sweet in my book.
I thoroughly loved the remake. I thought it was so good.
I'll definitely have to check that out. But other than watching The Heat for like the 30th time, mm-hmm. and my wife and I are trying to watch some Criminal Minds that we probably kind of napped through the first time. That's been my week.
Very nice. What about you, Reggie?
Well, for me, there was a sale on a bunch of stuff on the Switch. Mm-hmm. So I recently got Little Nightmares on the Switch, which is terrifying.
That game looks like a nightmare.
Yeah, it's very unsettling. You play this like little bitty person in like a full-sized world, and there's these creepy creature people with exaggerated features, like super long arms, and very, very high suspense while playing. And I've been only been able to play a little bit at a time before taking a break. Also, Dead by Daylight. And then, honestly, the biggest thing that I have been nerding out on is WandaVision. And without, like, ruining anything for anybody out there, like, please, y'all, watch it so I can talk to somebody. Like, I'll talk about it later. I think Tom will bring it up, but I'm not the biggest Marvel fan in the world. I have my reasonings for it, but WandaVision brought me back. Like, I have loved it.
Because I've always picked up that you weren't the biggest Marvel fan. And then you actually told me today at work, because I was super surprised when you were like super pumped about the X-Men, because you've always been more of a DC guy.
Definitely a DC guy. However, I love the X-Men. Mm-hmm. And funny enough, I've also always loved the Fantastic Four. Those were my absolute, I think it's because I had a VHS at my grandpa's house when I was a kid that was like the Fantastic Four cartoon.
Yes.
And I think I had like several of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I would watch a whole bunch of those. So, okay, I'll just explain it real quick. In high school, when the Civil War actually happened in the comic books, some major stuff went down in it. Mm-hmm. And like one of the biggest things that like destroyed me was Sue leaving Reed. You know what I mean? Like that, she basically took the baby and then walked out and was like, I will not be a part of this. Like this is, I hate Iron Man. Like that's what it boils down to. I hate Iron Man, and Iron Man they literally broke my heart so much. And when they did the Civil War timeline that I was never able to forgive them. I stopped reading. I stopped getting the comics. I only maybe 3 weeks ago actually sat down and watched and paid attention to several of the Marvel movies, because Corey is going through them in order. But I don't know. There was something about WandaVision that just looked so cool when I was seeing the commercials for it. So I was like, okay, I want to see what this is about. And man, it's so good. Oh, I just want to talk about it, but I can't. I won't ruin that. But anyway, that's been my week.
Really quick, back to your Fantastic Four thing. I loved the Fantastic Four because my parents went out of town one time and they brought me back a Thing action figure that had the pork pie hat and the trench coat and the sunglasses that you could clip on. And nice. That was like one of my favorite toys of all time growing up.
That's awesome.
In my collection of my brother and my action figures, we have that one, Tom. It's still there.
My dog chewed it up and I lost the like trench coat and hat and everything, but I had the Thing toy all the way to when we probably gave it away. But I might have to visit your house to see that action figure.
they're in storage, but they're easily attainable. A lot of them are.
Well, Shane, what have you been nerding out on?
So I have been nerding out on quite a few things this week. So last week, you know, I mentioned the Nintendo Direct that came out that was 57 minutes long. And I had only at that point seen the Animal Crossing update, which I am uber excited about. Comes very soon. Yes. Though the Mario items won't actually come till March 1st. Womp womp.
I got to see the Mario items, and those look really cool. I'm not an Animal Crossing player, but if you play Animal Crossing, those Mario costumes look pretty sweet.
And the warp pipes. Yes,
that's going to be the most exciting thing. So you can actually use them and warp to different parts of your island, and you can have more than two. It's just when you have more than two, you'll get warped randomly. You can't choose, but still.
I'm going to do a whole secret place that you can't get to unless you use a warp pipe. Oh, I'm so excited.
So as far as other games go that I was excited for, Fall Guys is finally coming to the Switch, and I want to try that out. I've been keeping my eye on that game for a while.
What is Fall Guys?
It is almost like an obstacle course, and you play, it's a massive multiplayer online game. You play with a bunch of other online people, randoms, and you try to be like one of however so many they're accepting to move on to the next level to make it through the little course. It's almost like the best way I could describe it. It's almost similar to Wipeout, except everyone's doing it at once, kind of.
I have it on the PlayStation, but I've never actually played it. It was one of the free games for the PlayStation Plus.
Mm-hmm.
And I downloaded it because everybody was like, oh, Fight God. But I literally completely forgot it existed and never tried it.
Yes, I'm excited to try it. And it looks fun and good, so I want it.
Also, just for the listeners out there to know, we can see each other. And Shane has some kind of background on right now, but you can only see on the white parts of his shirt. So for the longest time, I was trying to figure out what pattern was on your shirt. And then I just realized that it moves. It changes every time you move. And now I can't stop looking at it.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
No, it's hilarious.
Also, for all of our listeners at home who can't see the video, I just got a ring light for our play that we're doing for Beanstalk. And I'm feeling myself right now.
He's making faces and serving looks.
Well, the other game I was excited about that's coming from Nintendo is Mario Golf. I've been a huge fan of those games. They're fun. They're not like your average golf game. I mean, some instances they are, but when you get to the really fun levels, it's totally Mario in Mario, what you would expect Mario Golf to be.
Can you use the Joy-Cons like as a golf club?
I don't know.
They better. If they don't, that's wild.
I mean, I don't mind holding a controller when I'm playing golf, but that's also because I can't play golf in real life. So
I don't mind either, but I'm just saying, if there's a golf game that doesn't use like the motion control of a Joy-Con to like hit the ball, that would just be wild to me.
Well, I would be surprised if it wasn't like that, honestly, if you didn't have that option.
They had the accessory for the Wii golf game that you put the Wiimote in, and then it was a golf club that you could use. I don't see why they wouldn't release something like that just to put the Joy-Con in, and it looked like an actual little golf club. I think I still have it in my closet right now, actually.
Yes. Well, we've got a few months wait, unfortunately, before that game comes out, but I'm ready for it.
I'm excited from that announcement that you're talking about for Samurai Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
I guess is like a spinoff of Dynasty Warriors. I love Dynasty Warriors. I haven't bought a game in a long time, but that playing style is really cool to me.
Corey's been playing this game called
Very Game. Nice.
That's kind of, it's not as big, like you don't have big weapons that hits huge people at the same time, but it's like the big overview, God view. And you're like, it's kind of like Diablo, actually. Have you guys played Diablo?
I know of it. So.
Similar, but not the same at all.
Well, so the other thing I've been doing in my reading, you know, I finished my February book for the month, and I'm probably going to wait until March 1st to start my March book. So in the meantime, I really got to start on the Mighty Morphin Power Ranger comics, and I read a few of them. totally sucked in. I'm also really glad it dropped us in after they're established and we don't have to go through the origin story again.
Nice.
I love origin stories, but we're really oversaturated with them. And we know how they became the Power Rangers. So I accept it for what it is. And I'm enjoying it immensely and want to read many, many more.
When you get through reading The Shattered Grid, if you mm-hmm. want my hardback so you can read it in order, let me know.
I'm okay.
I'll let you borrow it.
That, and also I don't know if it's Mighty Morphin or Go-Go, but I keep seeing in my like Google feed that there's a new Green Ranger in one of the comics, and it's like, spoilers, the last Green Ranger, or like the last Power Ranger, but I don't know anything about it. It looks really cool.
It's in the new series.
I have been reading the new series. I get Mighty Morphin and Power Rangers. So I know what you're talking about. I know who it is. I don't want to ruin anything for anybody else.
Don't ruin it.
It's still new. When you find out who it is, I was not shocked.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, I wasn't very impressed either.
Mm.
It was Bulk, wasn't it?
It's Skull. No, I'm just kidding. But I will say, for the comic books, it makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All I can say.
Okay. I look forward to getting to that point one day, hopefully soon. So finally, the last thing I've been doing this week that I wanted to mention, I've been rewatching The Real Adventures of Johnny Quest on DVD because I own the whole series now, and I'm a huge Johnny Quest fan. And that was our 90s Johnny Quest. And so that one's one of my personal favorites. I do kind of like it a little more over the original. But so I've been rewatching it, and this week I came to my favorite episode of the series called Ghost Quest, and it's the episode where Johnny, Haji, and Jesse, which is Race Bannon's daughter, for those who may not be familiar with the series, they are taking one of their ship's boat things that their father's invented to Canada, and along the way, they get stranded on what ends up being a haunted island. And it's haunted by two ghosts, her ex-lovers, who look like Johnny and Jesse, and they end up possessing the two of them. And it's the episode where, spoilers, sorry guys, I'm spoiling a 1996 show. Johnny and Jesse share their first kiss, and I totally ship them. And unfortunately, on that series, that's about all we get with them as a couple. But they share their first kiss, even though they're possessed as the spirits. But that's just always been my favorite episode because of that reason. And also because the animation quality, especially for mid-90s, is one of my favorites, and it's on par with Scooby-Doo on Zombie Island, which for those of us that are cartoon enthusiasts are like top tier animation. Like, that's the best. Even though we have all this digital things now, Zombie Island is where it was at. And little did I know, I should say, two episodes after Ghost Quest, which I'm excited to watch, and I just recently learned, recycled footage from Johnny Quest went into Zombie Island.
No way. Nice.
Mm-hmm. It was kind of unused, so I guess recycled is an unfair term. But it's an episode set in Louisiana, which is where Zombie Island takes place, and it was ended up on the cutting ground, I guess is the right term. And so they used it in Zombie Island. So I look forward to seeing things in the episode that might could have been used, because the animation really is very similar, since Real Adventures was doing some digital things, but still relying mostly on hand drawing.
I'm just going to say, I'm so filled with rage about you spoiling Johnny Quest for me. I am about to quit the podcast.
No.
Well, I mean, you know, one episode out of 48 or so.
It ruined all 48.
But that's been my week. That's been my most exciting part of it, is rewatching that episode. But now we could talk about the good stuff.
The good goods. Shane, tell us about your list.
Yes. All right. So my list begins with one that may really be two people, but coming in at the top of my list, Jean Grey / the Phoenix, because I kind of like her slightly better as the Phoenix.
She's more exciting as the Phoenix, I will say that. The one thing that I never liked about Jean was that she always was like a wounded puppy almost.
Mm-hmm.
She was always,
No, help you me,
own
Scott.
It, girl. Own it.
She was. And she has really, like, I put her on there also because I'm a huge telepath fan. Like, that's the one power I would want if I could have a power. And she's, like, our main telepath of the series, even though I know there are others. But all the things that she could do were really awesome and unfortunately probably not realized until Phoenix took over our body. Which is why I added the slash Phoenix, because that's when Jean Grey gets really good. Next on my list is Rogue. Specifically from the animated series, I loved her characterization on that. I loved the voice actress. I think she nailed it. And I also loved that she had the strength that she kind of maybe pseudo stole from Miss Marvel.
is that why she could fly?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's where okay.
She puts Miss Marvel in a, she absorbs just enough of Miss Marvel's power to not kill her, but puts her in a coma.
Mm-hmm.
I think Carol's in a coma for maybe 4 months or 6 months or something like, I mean, it's a while, but because she absorbs so much of her, she kept it. And that's mm-hmm. where she gets her super strength and her flight.
How dare she do that to Brie Larson?
Might've been a different one. We don't know.
Yeah.
The multiverse.
Exactly. But I, you know, Rogue was their powerhouse, honestly. And when they, again, mentioning the Phoenix saga, when Gladiator was a thing, I was like, Rogue can take him. He's nothing for her. And then speaking of Rogue, which brings me to my next choice, Gambit, the card playing Cajun. Love him. Love them as a couple. Totally ship them. I like how he can be a little gray sometimes in terms of good versus bad, but he's usually, especially in the animated series, depicted as a good guy. But his power is just really awesome. And the fact that he uses it mainly with cards.
I feel like Gambit is probably on like every person in the world's list of favorite X-Men. Everyone loves Gambit. He's so cool.
He is so cool. That the kinetic energy is just such a cool power to be able to like put it in something and then throw it and have it. I mean, that's so cool. Mm-hmm. Not what I would pick personally, not the first one I would pick, but if I got that, I would be okay with it.
Yes, absolutely. And I would keep a ton of cards on hand.
Oh, I mean decks and decks and decks.
I feel like with Gambit's tricks, you could like impress more people than like, oh, I can read your mind. Like that would just creep people out.
All right. Next on my list is the so-called Weather Witch herself, Storm.
Yes.
I think her power is so cool. I don't think they use it enough in any media that I've seen her, and I don't really keep up with the comics, so maybe they do in that media. She's almost like second in command. She's a good leader. She has awesome powers. I love that she can fly too. And again, the animated series, that's my favorite iteration of Storm.
I mean, can she fight hurricanes? Or can she create hurricanes?
She can make them go away.
She made them go away. Yeah, I mean, like a hurricane has, as far as the physics go, a hurricane has like, is like the equivalent of like thousands of atomic bombs. So I'd say that's a pretty sweet power if you can make a hurricane go away, especially with climate change.
I mean, she can create them. She can do whatever she wants. At least we've been led to believe. So that's why I'm like, I feel like they always kind of nerf her in most things because she is so strong.
I mean, she's basically like a weather god and was mm-hmm. worshipped as one in Africa for a long time as a child. Yeah. Before Charles found her and brought her to the X-Men. I mean, if you're talking about like the original 80s, 90s comics, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Which for me, that is X-Men too, like the cartoon, yeah. But then the 80s and 90s comics. Like I know a lot of useless information from that era. Do you know who the actress Michaela Coel is?
I do not.
She was in the show Chewing Gum. Did you watch Black Mirror?
Yeah.
Do you remember the Star Trek parody episode?
Yeah.
Okay, you know the communications one?
Yeah.
So I saw this whole thing where they like took pictures of her and put it in the Storm costume. Mm-hmm. And ever since I've seen that, I've never been able to think of anybody else except for her as Storm.
Oh, wow.
And I really hope for the future of the Marvel Universe that somebody out there is spying in on us and listening. cast her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, cast her right now. Not only is she a great actress and is hilarious, she's stunning. Like, I think she was literally, like, made to be Storm.
Yes. Oh, my God. I totally support this decision now that I know who you're talking about.
Listen to Reggie, Marvel executives / Disney executives.
I know what I'm talking about.
All right. So now all we have left is my number one. It's going to be no surprise to anyone. Jubilee. Just kidding. Yeah. It's Cyclops.
Oh, I got so excited.
No, I mean, Jubilee's kind of cool, but she just did not make my list. But Cyclops, I've mentioned before, he's my favorite. I like him as a leader. I love his power. When I was younger, it helped me accept that I was going to have to wear glasses because Cyclops had to wear glasses when he wasn't wearing his visor. And so that's why he's always been my favorite. And of course, he was going to be number one on my list.
That is beautiful. I mean, do you have like a favorite Cyclops from a favorite like era?
I mean, honestly, probably like, you know, I'm like Reggie. I'm not the biggest Marvel guy. I'm much more of a DC fan. But when it comes to X-Men, I'm all there. But I don't read a lot of X-Men comics per se. So mainly it's been like the TV and the TV shows and the movies, which what I've been watching. So of course the 1992 animated version is probably my favorite.
Nice.
I think he has the best costume. I like just how much focus that gave the Summers while still keeping everyone else intact, because you know, it's where I first met Mr. Sinister, and I think they did a good job with him as well.
Don't hate me, Shane. I'm not a Cyclops fan.
Many people aren't, and I get it. Like, I've kept up with a few things that have happened in the Marvel universe, and especially the X-Men. So I kind of get it. But I also really like the Phoenix takes over Cyclops at one point, and I'm like, that would be kind of cool. Well,
and I mean, they took. I feel like they kept playing Wolverine versus Cyclops, and I cannot choose Cyclops over Wolverine as like. For reasons I'll get into later, but I feel like they did not do him justice at all in like the early 2000s remakes or the early 2000s live action movies. Fact that he never came back it killed me.
Mm-hmm.
James Marsden, what's his name, who plays him in
the beautiful man from Enchanted?
Yes, the beautiful man from Enchanted.
Yes.
I thought he did great. I know it's controversial, whatever. I love the X-Men movies. The first ones. I love them. I don't care.
I like them too. I liked the first one and then X2. Those were like two of my favorite X-Men things ever.
I'm one of those people. I don't like them. I much prefer New Class, even though I haven't truly seen them, so I probably shouldn't pick a side. But I'm still going to say New Class because I think overall they did it better from what I have seen.
Well, you know that they're the same, right?
Kind of.
So the movie Days of Future Past.
Days of Future Past. Mm-hmm.
So I own both versions of the movie. I own the original version, and then I own the Rogue cut that also includes all of the scenes with Rogue that were taken out. And basically, Kitty Pryde uses her powers and sends Logan to the past, and then it restarts the story of X-Men from there.
Yes. Oh, that Kitty Pryde. Honestly, I like her a lot too. You know, she would be on the honorable mentions list. I had Askman down as my honorable mention, but I want to change that to Blink, which is an X-Men I just got to know a couple of years ago, but she has such cool powers and I love her.
Did you play Legends?
Uh-huh.
Or I think it might have been 2, where Blink was your portal home.
And yes.
Locations. I loved it.
Wait, same. So just speculating, does Blink blink and changes like time?
She creates portals
mm-hmm.
that you can pass through that will come out on like a specific destination.
Oh, that's cool.
Yes. Yeah. I was so upset when The Gifted was canceled because it was an X-Men show without the X-Men and it had Blink as one of the characters. And at the end of season 3, a future Blink comes back and is like, guys, we need your help in the future, because it was essentially going to be a Days of Future Past storyline. And then they canceled it. And I not been happy with Fox ever since.
I completely forgot that show existed.
Mm-hmm.
I loved that show.
Me too. And Blink was my favorite character on it.
Oh, man. I'm going to have to do
that. That core family I could have cared less about.
Yeah, right.
But anyway, that's my list this week. Tom, what about yours?
First of all, that was a beautiful list, Shane.
Thank you.
So my list, I don't really have them ranked in order, more of just what I liked about X-Men. Like I told y'all earlier in the episode, I have a very surface level knowledge of X-Men, even though I do like X-Men a lot. I liked the movies, the live action ones. I watched the animated series. It's been a while though. I haven't seen any of the new stuff and I haven't read any of the comics. But my first one is Toad from the original live action movie, because he was played by Ray Park, which was the same actor who played Darth Maul from Star Wars.
Which I did not know until like an now. Hour ago when Tom told me, and I was, my mind has been blown since.
Mm-hmm.
But I just love Ray Park, because like to be a stunt actor the way Ray Park is, you have to train for like 15 hours a day. And so like when Ray Park was Darth Maul in Star Wars, people like fat shamed him, which is nonsense. But also he was just like, yeah, like when I played Darth Maul originally, I was training for 15 hours a day. I'm a bit older now, so I only train for 9 hours a day. At the end of the day, people who don't train for 9 hours a day to do what they do were criticizing someone who trains for 9 hours a day.
Mm-hmm. Like they do.
And that's like one thing I understand it's safer, but like that's one thing that kills me about the CG era is just like we're losing out on like what it takes to be a stuntman. Like stuntmen are so cool to me. I love Ray Park. I didn't particularly like the character of Toad in that movie, but since he was played by Ray Park, I loved it.
Very nice.
Next on my list, Beast. I loved that Beast had like the glasses and was a scientist. I've said it before on this podcast that I'm a pretty big skeptic. So the fact that there was like a little like scientist X-Men who you expected to be like some ripped, like angry Hulk character and was just like super smart. And I loved Beast.
Mm-hmm.
Any thoughts on Beast?
He's very underrated. A lot of people don't like him. And when I was younger, he was my favorite, but now I have more of a respect for him. You know, he obviously didn't make my list, but I do really like Beast.
I always loved Hank. I thought he was, I really appreciate the person who I don't remember what the actor's name is who plays him in the younger version of him, mm-hmm. but Kelsey Grammer as Beast in the original X-Men movies. I mean, that's top notch for me. I mean, that mm-hmm. I loved it.
Nice. Next on my list, I would say Magneto from the live action movie.
Mm-hmm.
Played by Sir Ian McKellen, as Reggie reminded me I have to call him today.
Sir.
I thought that they did an excellent job at casting on those movies. Like, as far as bringing the X-Men to life, I don't think they could have done better choosing, you know, Halle Berry as Storm,
mm-hmm.
Patrick Stewart as Professor X, Ian McKellen as Magneto.
Who? I'm sorry.
Sir Ian McKellen.
Oh, okay.
Who played Rogue?
Anna Paquin.
Mm-hmm. I liked her as well. Like we said, Cyclops, played by that beautiful human being. And I just thought the casting was great on that movie. They did a great job of bringing those characters to life.
They did.
I love that movie. Sorry about it.
I think the cast is great, and maybe the first one's okay, but then they ruined it when they did the Phoenix Saga.
I did not like that. I also didn't like the like leather.
Mm-hmm.
I would have much rather them have had bright yellow spandex, I mean, even bright yellow leather jackets.
Yes.
Like the X-Men are supposed to be loud. I didn't, and I'm sure it was probably just part of like the futurism of the early 2000s that they wanted to make everything sleek and sexy, but I did not like that part.
Not our costumes.
Hashtag not our costumes. Let's see. Next up, Juggernaut. I just included him on my list recently. His whole thing was like once he got moving, he was unstoppable, right?
Pretty much. I mean, he had super, like, a beyond superhuman strength.
Yeah.
And his I don't want to say the word hide, but like he was like impenetrable, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I just remember in X2, he was like kept in like a block of cement or something. Cause like once he got moving, he was unstoppable.
Mm-hmm.
Being super ADHD, part of my issue is like getting moving and getting going. But like once I get going, I feel unstoppable. So it kind of gave me the feels there. And then I would say my favorite X-Men of all time is Wolverine. I had a Wolverine costume. My brother had the Cyclops costume. They were the neon yellow and neon blue.
Mm-hmm.
Those were like, that was like my first Halloween costume. And I had it for years afterwards and I would play dress up with that Wolverine costume. I just thought Wolverine was so cool. I didn't really know about like the whole, is it like bone claws versus adamantium claws?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm, yes.
He doesn't get the adamantium until the Weapon X stuff gets him.
Yeah. And I mean, just so much about Wolverine is so cool. And just if I had any of those powers, being able to heal would be cool. And also being able to just, you know, have razor sharp claws that come out when at any time, like if anyone stepped you, you could just be like, shh, and they would back down pretty quickly.
Yes.
But other than that, I mean, I love Professor X, especially played by Patrick Stewart.
Mm-hmm.
Sir Patrick Stewart as well.
He is Sir Patrick Stewart as well.
Sir Patrick Stewart. Like I said, beautiful casting for those movies.
Mm-hmm.
Gambit, of course, just because he's
Everyone
Gambit.
Loves Gambit.
He's Gambit. He's like the coolest person I've ever met in my life. Did they have him in the original three X-Men live action? Mm-mm, they did not.
He came in Logan, or not Logan, like the Wolverine movie.
That is such a waste.
Oh, did he really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was his first appearance.
Who played him in that one?
I honestly can't remember the guy, but yeah, I just remember like in the first three X-Men movie, he wasn't in there. And then when Wolverine had his solo movie, that's not Old Man Logan, but his first one, Gambit appears.
Oh, is it? But he's just like a background character though, isn't he?
Yeah, I was going to say, he wasn't a very big character. And honestly, I'm not sure if Gambit lived through that movie.
Uh-oh.
I remember there were rumors for a long time that Channing Tatum was supposed to be Gambit in a live-action movie.
Yeah.
I could see that for the look, but not the accent.
No.
He'd probably got to go through some voice training.
And then I would say if I had like any X-Men power, I would say Mystique's would be pretty sweet to have. Just being able to like change who you are.
Be super sexy and blue skinned all the time.
I would be the most beautiful woman if I was Mystique.
I bet you would, Tom. I bet you would.
But
yay.
Yeah, that's my list.
That was a great list. I won't fault you for putting what I consider the most overrated one at number one, but that's okay.
I mean, there's a reason. And also just Hugh Jackman.
He is the only one.
I don't know if he was like designed, like he was put on this earth to play Wolverine.
He was.
They killed it with them.
Seems like it. Like I can't possibly think of a single actor that is known right now. Some unknown person could probably do it, but as of right now, any actor that's in Hollywood that I can think of, I can't think of a single one that could portray Wolverine.
Exactly. It has to be him. If they put him in the Avengers, it better be him.
Right?
Awesome. Awesome list, Tom. It really was. And so you have some trivia for us this week?
I do. And I actually got it off of usefultrivia.com.
Okay.
And I am doing the trivia because you and Reggie probably know more about X-Men than I do. Okay, so we'll just go until we get tired of it. Number one, what is Professor X's first name?
Charles.
Charles.
Charles. Is someone keeping score?
Yes.
Okay. Correct. Did y'all hear that noise?
Barely.
Barely.
Okay. Womp womp. Which X-Man has a pet dragon? Is it Phoenix, Wolverine, Nightcrawler, or Shadowcat?
Shadowcat.
Reggie. Which X-Man died trying to capture Count Nefaria? Is it Colossus, Thunderbird, Bird, Psylocke, or Phoenix?
Thunderbird?
Psylocke?
Let's try Thunderbird first. Oh, it was Thunderbird.
Yay! I didn't think Psylocke died, but I didn't know who Thunderbird was.
Where do the X-Men train?
Charles Xavier School for the Gifted?
The War Room.
Do y'all want to try that again? Is it the Crisis Room, the Danger Room, the Menace Room, or the Threat Room?
The Danger Room.
Danger Room.
But we both missed it.
All right, I won't give us either a point.
Yeah.
Tom gets a point on that one.
Exactly.
Useful trivia gets a point on this one. I did not design this. This one's easy. Which villain is a Holocaust survivor?
Magneto.
Was he?
Yep.
Forgot that.
That was the beginning of the first live action movie.
It's where his parents are being taken from him and he's reaching out for them and he bends the wire fencing.
Okay.
Sticking with Magneto, what is the name of Magneto's secret hideout? Is it Castle M, Asteroid M, Volcano M, or M Corp?
Asteroid M.
There we go.
Oh, Asteroid M. I really had no clue.
Let's see. Which of the X-Men did Dracula choose for his undead bride? Storm, Mystique, Phoenix, or Psylocke?
Storm.
Mystique.
Let's try Storm first. Storm it was. Who is Cyclops' father? Corvus, Corsair, Professor X, or Cable?
Corvus.
Corsair?
Shane said Corvus first. Let's try that one.
I said Corsair.
Oh, what did you say, Reggie?
I said Corvus.
Corvus. Both of y'all said Corvus. It was Corsair.
That's the one I said.
James said Corsair.
Oh, I'm sorry. y'all both have beautiful voices and they just blended together into the same thing. Which member of the X-Men is a rogue agent of the Canadian government's Department H? Is it Gambit, Wolverine, Rogue, or Psylocke?
Wolverine.
Wolverine.
Which I just want weird. One of the answers to be Psylocke.
Psylocke. I mean, I'm surprised Wolverine wasn't from Australia because that's where Hugh Jackman is from. Who killed Dark Phoenix? Gladiator, Cyclops, Professor X, or Jean Grey?
Jean.
Jean.
Jean it is. Shane gets that point. Which villain turned Angel into Archangel? Is it Sebastian Shaw, the Evolutionary, Apocalypse, or Mr. Sinister?
Apocalypse.
Sinister.
Start. Apocalypse.
Ah, he is one of the two.
Which X-Men challenged Callisto to become the leader of the Morlocks?
Storm!
Storm. Who was the first mutant Professor X recruited to join the X-Men? Cyclops, Beast, Marvel Girl, or Angel?
Beast.
I'll choose Cyclops since he took Beast. I really don't know if I know this.
Let's start with Cyclops. Cyclops it is.
Yay!
Boo.
Which member of the Hellfire Club was instrumental in turning Jean Grey into the Black Queen? Emma Frost, Jason Wingard, Harry Leland, or Sebastian Shaw?
Emma Frost.
I'll say Sebastian.
Emma Frost is incorrect. Sebastian Shaw is incorrect.
Oh.
Let's try Jason. Oh, Jason Wingard. Who was the first X-Man to destroy his/her brood parasite? Wolverine, Cyclops, Professor X, or Storm?
Storm.
That's who I would guess.
Incorrect. Second guess?
Cyclops.
Cyclops.
Incorrect again.
Xavier.
It was Wolverine.
We super missed that one.
Yeah.
Hey, I don't even know what a brood parasite is. So.
Honestly, I don't either.
Let's see.
Wait, I do. I do now.
Apparently, the X-Men were kidnapped by the brood.
Brood, yeah.
Okay. I thought brood parasite like meant where they got their mutations from at first. Which X-Man merged with a whale-like extraterrestrial? Nightcrawler, Storm, Phoenix, or Angel?
Phoenix.
Incorrect.
Nightcrawler?
Incorrect.
Darn.
Oh my gosh.
Storm or Angel, 50-50.
Storm. I mean,
correct. Storm.
So right now we're sitting at Reggie six, Shane six, and Tom
four.
Four.
And by Tom, we mean usefultrivia.com. What was Kitty Pryde's original code name? Sprite, Pixie, Puck, or Ariel?
Pixie.
Incorrect.
Sprite.
Correct. Which Morlock clipped Angel's wings? Callisto, Caliban, Sunder, or Mask?
Caliban.
Incorrect.
What were the choices?
I'm just guessing here.
Callisto, Caliban, Sunder, or Mask?
Callisto.
Correct. Okay, what does that put us at?
4-6, and Shane at 8.
Shane at 8. Okay, two more.
Okay.
And if Reggie gets his next two, we will do some more. What device did Professor X create to help him locate mutants?
Cerebro.
Cerebro? Did Shane get that one first?
I guess.
We'll give that one to Shane. Who gave Psylocke her bionic eyes? Professor X, Mojo, Deathbird, or Apocalypse?
Mojo.
Apocalypse.
Let's try Mojo first. It was Mojo.
Yay!
Shane really beat me.
For once. I think that's my first victory over you.
This was his theme week, so I'm glad he won his theme week.
That's right.
A few were guesses, but a few I knew. All right. That leads us to our last list. Reggie, that would be you.
Oh, me?
Yes.
All right. Well, coming in hot at number 5 on my list is Iceman.
Nice.
I love the idea of being able to like shoot ice on the ground and then slide. Anytime mm-hmm. there was ever ice on the ground, I was always trying to slide like Iceman would. Then, of course, years later, Iceman turns out to be a gay character, which, as a gay kid, you know, I love that.
mm-hmm. Now, could Iceman make his own ice no matter what, or did he have to have moisture in the air?
Well, there's always moisture in the air.
Unless there's a fire, because I'm pretty sure I remember that being like a thing Iceman couldn't do was make ice in a fire.
With the movie, Pyro was able to like keep him at bay, you know what I mean? But fire melts ice, so
mm-hmm.
you know.
Also, I did not like Pyro from those movies.
Which was double compounded for me, which was being awesome, because the guy who played Iceman in the movie, the actor is also gay.
Oh, nice. I didn't know that.
Iceman became gay, or not became gay, but turned out to be gay in the comics mm-hmm. as well. So that I was like, yeah. So next on my list is Jubilee.
Yay.
I loved her. That's when I think of X-Men, the first image that pops in my mind is Jubilee with that outfit and the fireworks coming from her hand.
Mm-hmm.
There was just something from the cartoon about that storyline where she, you know, she wasn't the main character of X-Men, but she was the start of the show.
She was.
You know, the whole premise of the show starting out was that she was coming to the school.
Mm-hmm.
And I really appreciated her glow up from annoying high school mall rat to X-Men.
Yes.
I really wish that they would have done her some justice in the movies. Maybe the future movies will. I don't know, but we'll see.
I hear she becomes really cool when she becomes a vampire.
Everybody becomes cool when they become a vampire.
I will say, for the longest time, I confused Jubilee and Rogue.
Shame.
Oh, Tom.
I'm not sure why. I think it was when I first saw the live action X-Men. I was like, wait, so is Rogue Jubilee? I couldn't pick that up. But I also loved her yellow trench coat.
Mm-hmm.
And the those like were they pink sunglasses that were always on her head?
Yeah.
I live for it. next on my list is not any kind of surprise, but the Dazzler. I love me a sexy female with bright colored powers, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
the Dazzler was who I always played as in the arcade game. No surprise, the gay guy played as the female character in the game. Shock, shock, shock. So, I had to include her. There were other X-Men that had more meaning to me, but when I think about like my childhood and playing X-Men and watching it and stuff like that, Dazzler had to be put on my list.
What was Dazzler's power?
So it was kind of similar to Jubilee's. It wasn't exactly fireworks, but it was like dazzle powers, you know, bright lights and sparks and stuff like that. She was also a professional like pop star.
Mm-hmm.
That's who Dazzler was in real life, and she used her powers for her, you know, she was like our Hannah Montana, if you will.
Nice.
I lived for it.
My dream casting of Dazzler is Taylor Swift.
Hey, Swift! Yes! Oh, yeah!
It would be perfect.
I don't know if she can actually act or not, though.
She can. Have you seen Valentine's Day?
No.
You haven't seen Valentine's Day?
Yes, she actually can act a bit.
That's like my... No, she's pretty good at acting. I will say, when I hear the name Dazzler, I imagine like her power being like throwing glitter in people's eyes. And then like running away.
It would be an awesome power, but not quite hers.
Kind of like pocket sand.
Pocket sand.
Next on my list is my Cajun hottie, Gambit. I was always a Rogue Gambit fan. Mm-hmm. I was never Rogue Wolverine, Rogue Cyclops, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Gambit all the way, from the accent to the powers to just how it was just so cool.
You know? He was just so cool. He was like the coolest person of my childhood.
Yeah, for sure. And maybe it was the trench coat.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it was a thing about trench coats that I had that I'm just now realizing. I don't know, but Gambit had to make my list.
Yes.
And then my number one is Rogue.
Yay!
Rogue, 100%. Like, of all the X-Men, I probably know the most about her. Her origin, mm-hmm. where she got her powers from. I don't hate Anna Paquin as Rogue in the movies either.
I don't either.
I do not hate it. Sookie Stackhouse as the Rogue was pretty awesome. Sookie Stackhouse is from True Blood, which is also what Anna Paquin was in.
She did an awesome job.
I think that's also where my obsession with having like a white streak in my hair comes from. Maybe that's everybody's obsession with white streaks, but I always thought that was super, super cool. And just anytime that I ever put color in my hair, I'm trying to emulate that, whether it's red or white. If you ever see me with color in my hair, I'm trying to do the Rogue, just smile and nod at me.
Oh, and that's just probably the most depressing X-Men power as well. Like, you can't have human touch or you'll kill someone.
If you have it for too long, I mean, it's got to be a sad. I if you think about it too long, like how does she kiss? She can't kiss. She can't ever have sexual relations. She can't ever hold hands. Like, yeah, that is the super saddest thing.
I mean, you talk about like what is it when solitary confinement, like that, like people need human contact.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
But that's pretty much my list. Honorable mentions. I love the Morlocks from the cartoons. I always really appreciated that storyline. Angel. I loved Wings. I think that's where my obsession with Wings came from. I have Wings on my shoulder blades, a Angel and a Devil Wing, and they were originally inspired by him.
Mm-hmm.
And then the ultimate sexy woman of all of them, Emma Frost. Had to at least say her name one time. But yeah, that's my whole list.
Every time I hear Morlocks, I just think, oh no, Morlocks! I think that's from Big Bang, I'm not sure. But that was the first thing I ever heard Morlocks from.
Aww. That is a really good list. I like Emma Frost when she stays away from Scott.
I like Shadow Cat because her name's Kitty and I love kitties.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and Elliot Page played Kitty Pryde beautifully.
Yes.
And was just, I loved that character, not probably because of the powers or anything like that, but just because of how Elliot was able to portray. And then, of course, Kitty Pryde has a huge part of the X-Men Days of Future Past or whatever. So I really liked that, too.
That is really awesome. Awesome list. I think it's been an awesome week. Awesome episode. Before we go, do you want to shout out anyone?
Absolutely. Always fun to mention my buddy Jimmy with Willow Mountain Woodwork, custom furniture. And then, of course, our dear friend Jordy Marie Games. You can find her on Facebook. She does Animal Crossing and several other games. She recently started a new Animal Crossing island called Pocky Town, where she is not time traveling at all. So it's a slow, slow go for her on that one. So go by and give her a like and tell her Total Nerdlist sent you.
Absolutely. And I will, as always, shout out our friend Mason Blevins and his book, 34 Degrees, found on every major site, Amazon, Books a Million, Barnes & Noble, Lulu.com, which is his publisher. You can look him up on all social media under Mason C. Blevins and give his book a try. It's great.
Awesome.
And of course, we are online too, Total Nerd List. Facebook, Twitter, Gmail, and Instagram. Our email is totalnerdlist@gmail.com. And we'd love to hear from you guys. We'd love to hear what you thought of our list. Who made your list? Who should we have talked about? Let us know.
Also, I wrote Total Nerd List on a carrier pigeon. So if you see that anywhere and want to send us any letters, it might bring it to us.
Maybe. All right. Thanks for listening, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.